very few places around the world. And so that is what KBOO is for us and for you, is sort of a kind of a beacon, you know, a beacon of hope in a really kind of insane world, as our current election is showing us. But here we are, 877-500-5266. That is a number that opens the doors to knowledge and real value and real happiness. So give us a call, 877-500-5266.
And we've been talking this morning with Tom Prue, who's senior researcher at the World Watch Institute, and you've been listening to Locus Focus here on KBOO Community Radio. If you're just tuning in and you'd like to hear what you missed, or you want your friends or family to hear this show, you can listen to it online or download the audio later this afternoon on our website, kboo.fm/locusfocus. Next week, we'll hear a rebroadcast of a show from the summer featuring Clatsop anti-LNG activist Lori Kaplan. I'll be back live in 2 weeks, when my guest will be Michael Abelman, author of Street Farm: Growing Food, Jobs, and Hope on the Urban Frontier. My engineer is Natasha Delapine. I'm Barbara Bernstein. We're going to go with some music by Hugh Masekela. Thanks for listening.
I want to be there when the people start to turn it around, when they triumph over poverty. I want to be there when the people win the battle against AIDS. I want to lend a hand. I want to be there for the alcoholic. I want to be there for the drug addict. I want to be there for the victims of violence and abuse. I want to lend a hand, say.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. Up next is Health Watch.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Portland Underground Graduate School. Classes that begin in October include How to Ally with Portland's Urban Native Americans and Cascadia Earthquakes, Live With It. Portland Underground Graduate School is also known as PUGS. Classes take place all over the Portland metro area. Information about registering, future classes, and more can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to Health Watch. I am guest hosting today. My name is Doug McVeigh, and we are going to be talking about medical marijuana. Well, marijuana, and medical marijuana in particular. We have as our guest today, David Downs. He's a freelance journalist and author. He may be best known as the editor of the Smell the Truth blog at sfgate.com, which is the San Francisco Chronicle's blog about marijuana and all things related. Does a lot of other stuff too. Among other things, he's written a book, really good one, and he's here to talk with us today about it. It's the Medical Marijuana Guidebook, and on the phone line with me now is David Downs. Hi, David.
Good morning, Doug. Thanks so much for having me on Health Watch.
I am grateful to you for being here. It's very kind of you. We appreciate it. And, of course, before we begin, I should remind folks, and you been listening for a minute, you probably noticed we're in the midst of our pledge drive down here at KBOO, member-supported community radio. Now, are you a member? You know you can become one today by calling 877-500-5266. And if you call in now for a pledge of just $60, you can get a copy of David's book, The Medical Marijuana Guidebook. And, of course, you can go online and pledge at kboo.fm, too. That's a possibility. But let's talk to our guests and see why you should be pledging and picking up a copy of this great book. David, tell folks about yourself. As I mentioned, that you write that you do some blogging, but you do a lot more.
Yeah, thanks, Doug, and thank you to KBOO listeners and to Portland. I love your guys' city, even though I've never been. I can't wait to get up there. I've been covering medical marijuana since 2009 here in the Bay Area, starting with Oakland's alt-weekly newspaper, the East Bay Express. And back then, we decided that we were going to treat the beat just the way the courts reporters or the cops reporters or the sports reporters treated their respective beat, with professionalism and respect for our readers, as well as a high degree of service for them. And, you know, it really took off. The readers have responded. And ever since then, my freelance bandwidth has been increasingly chewed up by medical marijuana policy stories and research stories, and now recreational legalization. I think I've been uniquely suited to cover this beat because I had a pretty traditional background. I got a degree in English literature from UC Santa Barbara, and I worked in a series of small, medium, and large newspapers and magazines and websites. You know, and I've written about music for Rolling Stone and technology for Wired magazine, and now I even have clips from Scientific American. And so I try to bring that professionalism of traditional journalism to bear on this rapidly evolving topic.
In fact, if I read your bio right, you're being modest. Didn't you go to the Bedell School?
Yeah, I got to do a little fellowship in 2004 out in Chicago at the Bedell School and work with all the alternative newsweekly editors from around the country at the Academy of Alternative Journalism, which really helped broaden my talents into sort of doing those narrative nonfiction type writing, more long feature stories that involve much more fictional type tropes like scenes and characters. And bringing those big stories to completion is always a challenge, and it was great to work with the talented people at Medill to hone that ability.
One thing I may as well tell you now on the air, I've always admired your work. I think you're a great writer, and what I've really appreciated in regard to your coverage of the medical marijuana issue is that you take it seriously and do real journalism. I mean, marijuana was always treated as an entertainment thing, a sort of light story by folks. And since legalization, medicalization, it's still treated in a lot of ways and by a lot of folks as sort of an entertainment sort of story. And you take it seriously, which I think is a good thing.
Thanks. Yeah, I still roll my eyes when I see the amount of puns that are made in the press, and I do my best to avoid the puns. But for people with medical conditions, medical marijuana is in fact a life or death issue. And since I started writing the column in 2009, I've been peppered with questions via email and via phone and in person about very, very serious and legitimate health concerns. And I hear from people constantly about how medical cannabis might be helping their lives. And so I take it as seriously as the readers are taking their conditions. And I feel a great sense of responsibility to them, and I just want to serve them.
And I would presume then that's one of the reasons that you wrote this book. Now, who is this book intended? Who's your target audience? I mean, is it patients, physicians, policymakers, the public, and any other words starting with the letter P?
Yeah, I think it really was. It comes from requests from patients, and it is written for them. People come to me all the time and say, my partner has cancer and the doctor recommended medical marijuana, but that's all he would say. He wouldn't tell us where to get it or how to get it legally or how to use it safely or adjust our use. And when you get those requests from people, it really stops you in your tracks. I think we all know that health is the most valuable thing you can have. And when you confront someone who's in the middle of a health crisis like that, you want to do everything you can. And so after years of pointing people at pretty public information that was really a Google click away, I realized that, you know, there is a little guidebook, an FAQ, a frequently asked questions list, if you will, that was out there that wasn't that needed to be written. And I sort of assembled my entire spiel into a book and tried to answer all the questions that I was getting all the time in a real systematic way for patients. I feel like there's a lot of books out there that have medical marijuana information, especially on the policy or the history side or the pop culture side, but there's no books putting the practical sort of DMV aspect of getting your card together with the more consumer choice aspect of finding a good dispensary, the way patients have to every day. And so I wrote the book specifically for those new patients, people who might be cannabis naive, or even people who might have some experience with cannabis, but don't know how to sort of access the systems for it in these now 35 states. And I wrote them for their caregivers, who are often going to be the ones getting it for them. But it's also a great tool for new bud tenders or new industry entrants. I think there's this green rush going on, and everyone wants to be a part of marijuana, but everyone could use some ground-level knowledge about the science and the conditions for which it treats and why it might be working and how these systems work. And so I wrote the book for everybody who's starting up that learning curve. And I know Portland audiences are super savvy. They think, I got this. You know, we've been doing this for a while. But I think every KBOO listener knows someone who could personally benefit from medical marijuana and who needs to be helped on their way in a professional form. And I think this book is great for them as a gift this year, especially for their relatives who are in other states and who are just catching up to where Portland is.
And we're going to talk about some of those conditions and some of those policy things in just a moment. This, of course, is Pledge Week, so we're going to be taking a short break right now. David will be back with us, and I'll be back, too. We're going to throw it over to Pledge Central. If I put my glasses on, might even see who's over there.
Well, I'm Pear, and Justin is here with me, and we are here to relieve you of your money and your anxiety. And one way you can do that is to call 877-500-5266, and you can get this book about medical marijuana, and Justin can tell you all about it, I think.
Well, yes, David Down's book, The Medical Marijuana Guidebook, America's First How-To Guide for Patients and Caregivers. This is for a modest $5 a month contribution that will amount to a modest $60 over the year. And think about this. This book has a retail value of $30. So for an additional, like less than $3 a month over the next year, you're going to get this book. Now, that also means that $30 will be your tax deduction next year. Now, none of us are cash rich by and large, but most of us are still going to have even a little bit of tax liability. So that's... This is a really compoundingly excellent deal. You start a $5 a month contribution. You receive a copy of the Medical Marijuana Guidebook. You receive a $30 tax donation. You divert money from the war machine, and the money that you divert stays here in the community, serving your community. Won't you call right now, please, 877-500-5266, so we can put a copy of the Medical Marijuana Guidebook into your hands. You know, they don't call it cantibus, they call it cannabis. And we're asking you to call in right now, 877-500-5266.
Well, I have a copy in my hands right now, and it looks like it's really us. It's a stunning book. It's got lots of illustrations, lots of information in here. It's just a gorgeously put together book. Gee whiz, you can get high just looking at the book. So give us a call, 877-500-5266.
It would be great if people could call up and say hi right now, 877-500-5266. Look, we could go all day like this, but the alpha and the omega is in getting you in Radio Land to engage. So while we get out of the way and hand it back, we will remind you that there are a couple phone lines open, and we're waiting to meet you. 877-500-5266.
And we're back. And David. So now, again, we're talking with David Downs, journalist, author of the Medical Marijuana Guidebook. Now, you in your book, you discuss all the various state programs. You've been categorized in terms of ease of access. I noticed that a lot of these state medical marijuana programs that we keep hearing about and reporting on are listed as impossible. Could you unpack that? I mean, you're not exaggerating there, right?
No, not at all. I think every KBOO listener needs to know that the medical marijuana access and freedoms they enjoy in Portland are not something that the majority of Americans have access to. Most Americans are behind enemy lines, so to speak, when it comes to access to this life-saving botanical. And one of the things we did in the book was go through each state and tell you step by step how to access that medical marijuana program. And so if you're an Oregonian or a Californian, you're looking at a pretty easy process. Versus someone in Georgia or someone in the other parts of the South, they're looking at a process that's tantamount to impossible. You see these CBD laws, that's a law around cannabidiol, which is a therapeutic ingredient in marijuana. Well, these CBD laws are passing all across the Deep South and Midwest, places where there's a fear about THC, the main active ingredient in pot, the one that causes euphoria and feelings of feeling good. So they've passed these CBD laws to legalize CBD, but often what happens is no doctor is going to write a recommendation for CBD, and there certainly isn't any licit sources of CBD. I was aghast to learn that there's programs in the South where they're doing a tiny limited trial of a cannabidiol drug in a hospital, in an epilepsy ward, very, very controlled, and so you're looking at maybe 10 kids in the entire state that are in that program. And some of the burdens that they face to get in that program are straight out of the dark ages. You know, if you have epilepsy, they want you to have exhausted every possible other form of treatment or surgery or you name it before they'll let you try this therapeutic, non-toxic plant. And when I mean every last option, I mean every last option. In some places, they want you to have a piece of your brain cut out first to treat your seizures before they'll let you try CBD, which can't kill you and can't get you high. And so I think it needs to be made very clear to readers in Portland and beyond that their brothers, their sisters, their moms, their family members, their cousins, they're behind enemy lines in these states. And it's not enough to sit there and sort of raise your glass or your bong, if you will, to the east and go, I hope you guys get your act together. This is unconstitutional, and it's a failure of human rights. And I hope the book helps illustrate how hard it is for people, and I hope it opens eyes to the fact that, you know, every American, and this is something that Dr. Sanjay Gupta said, this isn't some journalist in San Francisco, he's saying that every American should have cannabinoid drugs in their pharmacy. Every American. And that's where we need to be going.
That's, well, it's obviously quite disturbing. One of the, what do you think? Now, the CBD only laws, why have they been so, are people really so afraid that a patient might feel good? I mean, is that really I've been doing this for many years, and sometimes it's just mind-boggling. It really is.
Yeah. Some people have called it America's fear of euphoria, or euphoranoia, if you will. But it's completely hypocritical. You can go to the store and buy enough euphoria to put you in a coma for less than a couple hours' wages. You can go to a doctor and get a recommendation, or rather a prescription, a legal prescription, for enough euphoria-inducing opioids to stop your heart. And indeed, 19 Americans are going to have their hearts stopped by opioids today. And so it's a selective form of euphoranoia, and it's a way to perpetuate the stigma against cannabis into the modern era. You know, to say, this molecule is bad, THC, this molecule is good, CBD, and we're going to go with CBD, and we're going to make sure no one ever has THC. Well, the majority of the research is around the therapeutic effects of THC, which we know. A lot of it is lawmakers responding to pressure in a way that sort of cuts the baby in half. So you got these moms and these dads and these really sick kids banging on their pots, you know, clamoring for access to this. And so, you know, these Republican lawmakers in these deep South states, they don't want to turn away a sick kid. So they pass an overly restrictive law that makes it look like they're doing something, when in reality they've done the favorite thing they love to do, which is kick the can down the road. And no one's going to really hold their feet to the fire. And when they do, you know, they can go, well, we tried, but someone else didn't implement it right. So it's a bunch of things. It's misinformation. It's that perpetuating that stigma. You know, there's a lot of reasons why. And you know, it promises to continue, you know, this year and into the future.
And people wonder why it is we still protest, we still do things like Hempfest and Hempstock. Hempstock's coming up this weekend, in fact. And yeah, people wonder why. It's
The plant is not free. I think complacency is now the biggest enemy of reform. A lot of people are enjoying their rights and are happy with that. But we got to think about everybody in this country. I certainly do. They write me.
Indeed, well, complacency is the enemy. And we'll overcome complacency. People will learn. And people will keep on being informed by listening to KBOO. We're going to throw it back over to Pledge Central, where Per and Justin are going to talk to you about how you can keep things going.
Well, you can start things going by calling 877-500-5266 and find out how you can get a copy of this book. It tells you what you need to know. I mean, if you or somebody you are living with is living with chronic pain or other medical issues, you know, you can get a lot of information that you really want be crucial to your well-being is in this book. So it's for a $60 pledge. That's only $5 a month if you do the monthly deduction, which is the easy way to go. You know, it's easier for you and it's easy for us, and it makes everybody happy, just like the topic of this book. But anyway, give us a call, 877-500-5266.
Or online securely at our beautiful new website, kboo.fm. I want to thank Janice in Portland. Janice gave online at kboo.fm. We appreciate that. That's how we get our signal all over the world. I think maybe there's this little stereotype that, we're just a little out of the way, little brigade, but we are actually a worldwide media force. And it's important that our listeners not become complacent, because it's really fabulous to have survived for over 25 million commercial-free minutes. But the one little risk is that since we're not going anywhere, our listeners can become complacent, and they may forget their role, your role, dear listener, in this operation. Your role is giving a modest contribution so that you're doing your part, so that everyone who is availing themselves of this resource is also a part of it. It makes you a stakeholder. It means that the quality of the signal is different. Now, look, you're going to get discounts at different places. You're going to get a quality of signal. You're going to engage in a wee bit of checkbook activism, and you're going to have really done something for the community. And yes, for yourself, for your family, but also for people you don't even know, neighbors, people just on the street. So many thousands of people have received critical training and become citizen journalists. And that's another thing you're supporting when you call 877-500-5266. Find me a lot of media sources that are doing journalism about cannabis right now. KBOO is out front once again. And it's important to remember that. You can do it online at kboo.fm, or you can call toll-free 877-500-5266 to make sure we get a $400 goal. Listen, I know that cannabis is a big deal to a lot of people who are listening right now. This is one of the first radio programs to air like this. It would really be a shame if our vital KBOO community weren't lighting up those phones right now in a show of solidarity, in a show of progressivism, and in a show of support for an entirely new topic that puts this area really on the forefront of history. Call right now, 877-500-5266.
You know, we do get people, contributing. We get members in other states and even in other countries, because they live someplace where you don't have a station like KBOO. The only way they can get it is online. They can't just turn on their radio where they live and hear the kind of news and public affairs and music and everything else that you get on KBOO. So they learn to rely on us the only way they know how, on the World Wide Web. So it makes a difference the kind of place you live in. You know, KBOO can sort of really, I don't know, it can kind of really lighten up a neighborhood. It can lighten up a city. It can sort of give meaning to life wherever you live. And so that's worth something. It's worth more than the whatever amount of money you give us. So 877-500-5266.
It, when you have all of these diverse voices threaded throughout this tapestry here, you may not realize how much your life is being enriched and how much solidarity is being created when you're linked up with these different stories from real people from around the community and around the world. And we're never going anywhere, but just as a thought experiment for a moment, think about if those voices weren't here, would this community be vital? Think of all the communities that have only mainstream commercial media. Think about the monotone of those voices. Think about how they all just come from old white males. They all just come from old white conservative males, just about. And KABU is a real antidote, and you know that. You've been listening for years and years. Sometimes I hear my colleagues say, if you think this is important, then call now. But I think even more of you still, dear audience, I think you know it's important, that there's no ifs about it. And I know it's a busy time, and there's so many people, you know, asking for a few of your hard-won pennies, nickels, and dimes. But I think KABU is the kind of organization that really gives so much. It is such a worthy contender for your support, for all of our accomplishments, for all the people who are being served, for all the training, for all the programming. Right now, stop what you're doing and just take a moment and introduce yourself. 877-500-5266. That's a toll-free number that you can call from anywhere in North America, anywhere around the world. You can click at kboo.fm. Please consider doing that right now. It's a gift for you, for your family, and for the entire community. 877-500-KBOO.
And we're back. And and thank you, Justin. Thank you, Pear. And thank you to everybody. We're still on the air. We're going to be here for a little while yet. David's going to hang out, and we're going to chat some more about medical marijuana and marijuana policy and such. Of course, speaking of David Downs, journalist, author of the Medical Marijuana Guidebook, and which is yours for a pledge of just $60. Call 877-500-5266. I like saying that. And so, David, one of the big concerns that opponents of medical marijuana laws have raised, and practically since Prop 215 passed in California back in 96, wow, 20 years ago, is that the most frequently cited reason for using medical marijuana is chronic severe pain. I mean, that's certainly true here in Oregon. But research in the past few years has shown there are some major benefits for patients and for society from that, for using marijuana for treating some pain conditions. Could you talk about that for a few?
Sure. I think everybody's heard the, you know, canard that, oh, it's just a bunch of 21-year-old skateboarders who want to get high with these medical marijuana programs. I saw them kick-flipping out the front door just yesterday. And, you know, there is statistics showing that chronic pain is the number one reason a lot of people are accessing medical marijuana. And critics have said, you know, chronic pain is so nebulous. This anxiety, which is one of the second reasons under there, also really nebulous. I'm not sure these people need it. And, you know, after digging into the research on this, I find that perspective to just be really uninformed. And I respect people just assuming the worst about human nature, but the data and the sort of patient reports, the lab human, animal, cell studies all sort of back up what the patients are saying. So every human being, every animal bigger than a sponge has an endocannabinoid system. That's a nervous cell signaling system that uses electricity and chemicals to relay messages like pain across your body. And cannabis, the plant, secretes molecules that modulate this system. And in some cases, they can beneficially change the system temporarily to reduce sensations of things like pain. And we know this because we've studied it in cells, as well as in animals, and as well as in people. And in terms of people, the most most bulletproof standards we have. So we give people double-blind, placebo-controlled trials of cannabis for pain versus placebo. And they're usually going to use a vaporizer, not smoke it, and do it in a hospital setting. But patients generally consistently report significant reductions in their perceptions of pain, especially chronic intractable pain, pain like neuropathy, which is a nerve pain that won't ever go away. And related sort of dysfunctions of the nervous system that are generating unwanted pain signals. Cannabis has the ability to modulate those. Studies are showing time and time again. And sometimes it's a matter of being people able to give people what they call like a separation from their pain. So it's not so present. They can sit with it, but it's on the other side of the room and their mind's not fully on it every way. And chronic pain is one of those things that kills people. It drives people crazy. They'll take their own lives before they endure, much more so than someone who's had a different type of severe injury, like a loss of a limb. If they wake up, in pain every day, they don't want to go on living. And so chronic pain can be lessened and really give people their life back with medical cannabis in a way that patients consistently report to me. And I consistently have found in the literature, which is presented in the book. That's one thing I want to make clear to readers, that nothing in the book is me saying this. It is all the result of literature review and interviews. And so every fact about an indication for medical marijuana that I present in the book includes an endnote at the end of the chapter where you can turn to the endnote and look at the actual study where they tested medical marijuana for that condition, go pull it up on the internet, print it out, bring it to your doctor and go, look, I'm not crazy. This is working for me. You need to work with me. And the other side of the chronic pain discussion that is so salient in America right now is that we're all in the grips of this opioid epidemic. It's affected my life personally. I've had relatives that got strung out on opioids for chronic pain. Everyone knows someone who's dealt with this or, potentially have lost their lives because of it. Again, 19 Americans a day. And other options for chronic pain in America can be really, really extreme. Opioids are very addictive. They have a very tiny window of effect, and if you overshoot that window, you could have, your heart could stop, and it is stopping. And America's number one drug issue is opioids, like the government is saying, and here we have cannabis, which is showing in preliminary studies to reduce the risk of opioid overdose because cannabis appears to be helping people use less opioids or go off them entirely. Opioids are useful for pain, but scientists say that they're not, a magic bullet. And there might be some types of pain that respond better with a little cannabis and other types of pain that don't require any opioids at all. And a patient can use a cannabinoid drug. And that is really big deal because, again, when 19 Americans are dying from this and states with medical marijuana laws are reporting a quarter less opioid deaths because ostensibly of the availability of medical marijuana, every day that we don't make access easier to medical marijuana and get some of these opioid patients off that drug is a day that we lose more of our friends and family, moms and our kids. The sorrow is immeasurable. And I hope people have a chance to read the data in the book and look that up for themselves.
Indeed. In fact, that's something that I was really, really impressed with in your book, that you have so heavily footnoted and cited everything. I mean, you've got and authoritative sources, the real, journal articles and the real experts. It's really quite impressive. As you know, I like the facts. But you also present it really well and communicate these facts really well. And that's a tough combination. But I'm impressed. It's a good book.
Thanks, Doug. I've read your writings for years. Everybody should know Doug McVeigh, Drug War Facts. You're a man who also seems to believe that everyone's entitled to his opinion, but we all have to have the same facts. And I don't think I could have helped you, complete the book without, your dedication to empiricism over the years and all the other activists and researchers whose shoulders I stand on now doing the book. And that includes people like Clint Werner, who wrote Marijuana Gateway to Health. Michael Backus did a great book recently called The Cannabis Pharmacy. I include a number of other books people should read in the reference, that are going to have, are looking at a different aspect of this or going into more of a certain part in a way that will be helpful for them.
That's terrific. That's just terrific. Now, I Okay, I gotta ask. Some people might argue that with partial legalization of adult social use in four states plus D.C., and you got initiatives on at least a few state ballots this election cycle, even California, some people might argue that a medical marijuana guidebook is, well, sort of dated. How would you respond to that?
You know, some people have said that, but I can tell you from my reporting in the field that the opposite is very much the case. I was there on January 1st, 2014 in Denver at dawn when the stores opened on the first recreational sales in U.S. history, really. And it was history. And you'd be surprised how many people in line are medical patients from other states, literally American drug refugees who are down from places like Minnesota with chronic back pain. And cannabis works from them, but they don't have a reliable, tested, safe source up there. And they're loading up and headed home. And my heart goes out to every, you know, American drug refugee for medical marijuana, and because they're real. And so what you find when recreational passes is the stigma lifts against medical use. I was in San Diego recently, and I was prepping for a radio interview just like this. And I knew I was in public at a Starbucks, and so I run the risk of some blowback talking about marijuana. San Diego is a 50-50 divided community. It's not all of California is really progressive. I get off the phone. There's this older woman in medical scrubs sitting across from me at the table, and she goes, "Excuse me," and I go, "Oh, here we go." And she goes, "I just want you to know that I'm so thankful for the work you're doing." And I'm like, "What?" And she's like, "I work in hospice. I've seen medical marijuana work. I know it works. But I can't convince my medical director to allow this safe drug in a hospice setting." And this is for people who are on their deathbed. And this is what Prop 215 was about in 96. They're still going without help. And she said, "Look, if Prop 64 passes," and she didn't know what it was called, she was like, "If the legalization thing passes, it's going to make a huge difference in our case to use this medically." And we've seen that time and time again. The step one, you can't get past anybody who's in any position of authority in terms of medical use when it's illegal. And cannabis is sort of quasi-legal under medical laws, but when it's fully legal under recreational laws for all adults above 21, that totally changes the game. Moreover, people's cannabis taxes are paying for the new medical research in America that needs to be done. The federal government continues to drag its heels with medical marijuana research. They've done so for decades, and they promise to do so for decades more. But the states are acting like their own countries now and commissioning medical marijuana research using tax dollars that basically, you know, smokers are paying for, and they're going toward researchers who are using stocks of marijuana from that state to bring people into the lab and confirm what other science has said and lay it to rest for keeps. So I think, you know, eventually this book will go out of date, but I think we have a good 10 or 20 years more to we have full medicalization in America and a federal solution there. I mean, this isn't even taught in medical school right now. This fundamental system of human nerves is not taught in medical school. So we're looking at a generation where patients are going to have to lead until the science officially at the federal level catches up. And so I don't feel like the book is being at all sort of being dated. It's just, well, you got to step outside the bubble and see it from the majority of Americans who don't have any access or and very rudimentary knowledge.
Well, and especially since several of the states, considering several of the states that supposedly have medical marijuana programs, as you were saying, it's sure you've got there's a law, but it's impossible to use.
Yeah, and I just hope, you know, policymakers get a hold of the book or people mail it to them. You know, mail them a case. The science is indisputable, and I think I gotta hope that the truth wins out. Over the long haul with this stuff. I certainly have seen people who were ideologically opposed to this completely change their minds when they encounter these families and the truth, you know, and they find their own reasons for changing their minds. They go from saying, you know, God says marijuana is the devil to saying, why would he put this plant all over the earth if he didn't put it here for us to use? And, you know, whatever it takes for them to get there, I think they just need to get there on behalf of patients and basic medicine in 2016.
Well, you talked about the marijuana refugees, and I mean, I know several out here in Oregon myself, and I've lost count of the number of old friends from back in high school who've been in touch because they or a loved one are having some kind of chronic condition, or they're undergoing some kind of, they're experiencing some kind of an illness, and medical marijuana would be incredibly helpful. Unfortunately, they just happen to still live in a state that that hasn't gotten it together yet. It's sad.
I was just at home, back home in my little small town in the high desert, east of LA, and I, got out on social media that I was home. And my old hockey coach, my roller hockey coach from when I was in high school, called me, and he was like, "Hey, Dave," and I could hear the weariness in his voice, but I didn't expect what he was going to say, which was that his mom had fallen and broke her neck, and while she was in the halo, had a series of strokes, which led to dementia, and now she had agitation that no drug could cure, and she was up all day and night, and it's a true, just horror story, I think. We all live in fear of that happening to a loved one, let alone our mom. And so now this guy's a former law enforcement officer and a pillar of that community, and he's asking me now for guidance with regard to how to access certain products and what to potentially give her. I think the medical modality of marijuana predates the recreational modality and promises to just be bigger than it overall. When you think of the amount of older people, the boomers, that massive demographic that's pushing into those years and hitting a lot of the problems that cannabis is helping manage, whether it's insomnia or depression or chronic pain or inflammation. I mean, there's preliminary evidence that cannabinoids, can either stave off Alzheimer's or, and they certainly have been shown to be neuroprotectants as well as potentially neuroregenerative agents. And I mean, I can't believe my old friend, my hockey coach, when he says, "Dave, we gave her some, CBD-rich stuff, and she's doing better. And I swear, she's getting better." And I don't know if he's hoping for that, and but those patient stories add up, and there's a lot there. And so we've just begun to enter the medical cannabis age. I think the rest of this century is going to be about cannabinoid drugs, basically the cannabis plant. They'll throw a fig leaf over it and call it, this is our pharmaceutical grade formulation. But it's really availability of the kind of tinctures that were around a long time ago.
Right on. And we're going to be right back, throwing it over to Pledge Central.
And we are here during our fall membership drive. Thank you for everyone who has called at 877-500-5266 and for everyone who's moving to their phones or their computers to click at kboo.fm. I want to thank Naomi in Southwest Portland for renewing her membership, and she started a new monthly contribution. Thank you so much. Kelly in Southwest Portland has renewed. Thank you. And Mark in Sherwood has also renewed. Thank you to all of you, and it would be great to add three more new members, so make sure that the roles are growing. 877-500-5266, because we don't have any pre-rolls here. We've got to wait till you make the call. We do still have copies of the Medical Marijuana Guidebook by David Downs for a modest $5 a month contribution. That's a $30 retail value, so you're leaving about $3 a month on the table for the mighty 90.7. Won't you call right now? 877-500-5266.
Well, let me give you a testimonial. KBOO has kept me sane for these many years, and that is no small accomplishment. And if it's kept me sane, it can keep you sane. It can make you feel less helpless. It can make you feel like you have a power to change things. You have some influence in this crazy world. It's not just you don't have to just be a passive victim and take what's offered to you. You can strike back. You can be your own agent of change. And that way to do that is to give us a call at 877-500-5266. Take advantage of some of these fine books we have here, the medical marijuana book and the sustainability books earlier. And plus just the pleasure of knowing that you are helping to spread the word, spread the message out into the world. So give us a call, 877-500-5266.
We have just $220 to go for our goal. If four of you would start that $5 a month contribution, that would do it. Maybe two of you could do $10 a month in that way. That would amount to $120 over the year. That's 33 cents a day, 33 cents towards this vital community resource, working to be an electronic bulletin board for all the social change activism that's going on. This is real cutting edge material right now. We're talking about cannabis on the radio. And I want to remind you, you know, most of you may not know whence comes the BOO in KBOO. Well, in June 1968, BOO was the strongest weed in Berkeley. This station was built on weed. It was named on weed. And I would like to make sure that we make our program goal during a discussion about weed. I'm just going to say that. We're talking about weed, and there are a lot of you out there who are thinking about weed. Let's put it together. Let's put the BOO back in BOO and call right now, 877-500-5266. $220 to go, about 15 minutes, and there are thousands of you listening. Are you going to let someone else be the next KBOO member? Are you going to let someone else make sure that these voices are brought to air? Are you going to let someone else, you know, talk about the weed? No, you're going to keep it on the BOO, on the mighty 90.7. Call us right now, toll free, 877-500-KBOO.
And we're back. Special edition of Health Watch and Radio Zine combined. We're talking with David Downs, journalist and author of the Medical Marijuana Guidebook. Oh, by the way, hi, I'm Doug McVeigh, your guest host today. And so, yeah, and we're on the pledge drive, 877-500-5266. I love saying that number. Let's talk about your home state of California for a minute, if that's okay. You've got Prop 64 on the ballot. Now, recently, I saw you writing about the fact that it's not necessarily a done deal, the passage of legalization down there. Could you talk about the initiative for a minute, the prospects?
Sure. I'm sure a lot of Portlanders know that California is going to vote on legalization on November 8th. Prop 64, also known as the Adult Use of Marijuana Act, is pretty similar to what Oregon voted on. You know, it'll allow personal amounts of cultivation and possession, and it'll fully legalize marijuana in America, or California, the first time it's been for about 100 years. But it is a big lift in a year where there's a lot of big lifts for marijuana law reformers. And the story was really about how it's nothing close to a done deal, and overconfidence has become, again, like the biggest weakness of reform. There's a ton of structural issues with the vote this year that, you know, make it challenging. And then there's just a lot of cultural inertia around marijuana that make it challenging. Donald Trump is skewing the turnout. And then there's a bunch of people who support marijuana and even support marijuana legalization, but are taking issue with various aspects of the initiative. And, you know, we're in this era where incomes are at the biggest unequal distribution that they've been since the 20s, and people have a lot of problems with the mainstream corporate economy, for lack of a better word. And we're kind of getting ready to be at the point where, you know, people are ready to make legalization a referendum on late capitalism and all of its excesses, and say, well, you know, if big business can be in this space, well, then I'm ready to keep it illegal. And that's pretty, you know, sad. You know, a lot of people are saying, because we're looking at 20 to 30,000 Californians that get arrested every year for marijuana-related crimes. You know, 150,000 between 2010 and 2014, I believe. Cannabis is not legal in America, and it's certainly not legal in a lot of the sort of inner parts of the state and the rural parts of the state. I genuinely fear that we may be looking at a failure on November 9th in California, and the people running this race and the nine other legalization races in America say that if California loses and the other couple states win, it'll be mostly seen as a disaster. And, you know, with the, you know, gaining numbers on Trump, some are saying, you know, that that's even more concerning for people who are running these races, because he, you know, under a Trump administration, he would likely pick an attorney, like a lot of people assume he would pick like an attorney general, Chris Christie. And Chris Christie from New Jersey has been a very recalcitrant force in America, fighting against the implementation of medical marijuana in his state, openly saying that, you know, he would go after potheads if he had any power in this country. And so, you know, we could be looking at not only like an AG Chris Christie, but a California rejection of marijuana, like legalization, you know, and the tide turning on like this macro historical level, and the pendulum beginning to shift back to the 70s, where 100,000 Californians went to jail for this a year.
Wow. And it's, well, we had this, you know, with the, we had people arguing against legalization in Washington state. And it has to be said that part of the medical program has been, you know, has been rolled back and rolled over. One has to wonder how, what would have happened if some of the people who spent so much time in vitriol attacking that initiative and attacking the supporters, what would have happened if they'd have put some energy into being constructive and working with the legislature before the vote, saying, okay, this thing passes, let's work out the protections for patients and make sure it that it's not going to that it's not going to mess with people who are really in need. But they didn't, and so we're seeing what happens from that. So hopefully they'll be smarter down in Cali. We're going to take just one more pledge break, and then we'll be back to get some closing thoughts and find out about your social media, where people can find out more, follow your work. But first, we're going to throw it back over to Pear and Justin at Pledge Central.
Thanks so much. Yes, you're listening to a special edition of Health Watch during the fall membership drive. And we're hearing an interview with David Downs about his book, The Medical Marijuana Guidebook, America's first how-to guide for patients and caregivers. And we can put that book in your hands for a modest $5 a month donation over the year. That amounts to one penny, one nickel, and one dime every day when you call toll-free 877-500-5266. We're blazing new territory today. We're talking about cannabis and medical marijuana on your community radio station. And it looks to me like we have less than $100 to go to make our program goal here. We have about 10 minutes to do it. There are thousands of you listening, and thousands of you are keeping close attention to the issues surrounding cannabis. So won't you please make KABU a part of your normalization of cannabis protocols, because KABU is in the forefront and we're bringing this information to you as quickly as we can, and we keep the lights on because of your charitable contributions. Call right now, 877-500-5266, to make sure we get to our goal. Less than $100 to go right now, 877-500-KABOO.
Well, people have been calling in. Our goal is being rapidly eroded. We're meeting our goal. We need you to step up to the phone and call 877-500-5266. You know, I just think, you know, 20 years ago, this whole topic was just kind of not to be spoken of, or in guarded tones. It was taboo. But now it's you see how times can change. And KABU makes, oh, there's a call right now. That might be the call that gets us over the top. We want to thank, it's kind of hard to read somebody's writing here. Tedine, a renewing member in Vancouver. Yes, Tedine in Vancouver, Washington is renewing. Thank you. And we want to thank Steve in Happy Valley, who is renewing. They see the value in KBOO. It's your radio station. It is their radio station. And they are contributing their little bit to keep this station on the air. KABU is here for everybody, and we need everybody to get behind us. And the way to do it is to call 877-500-5266 or online, kboo.fm. Do it now. You will never regret it.
You know, we have trimmed pretty much all the fat out of this operation. There are no in-flight pool parties, no private jets to the Riviera.
No.
What there is a whole lot of earnest digging to bring real voices to the airwaves, to teach us about medical marijuana, about urban planning, about environmental protection, protection, about systems of oppression, about projects to liberate the mind and entertain, about new music, new dance, new performing arts. All of these voices are brought to the air with your modest contributions. I like to say that never have such Himalayan achievements been won on top of such modest contributions, because standing up and being counted as a member of KABU is the first Herculean achievement. Now, 90% of you have been listening to us for years and years and years and haven't made the call, so don't take our word for it. Why don't you try it out as a stakeholder? Why don't you realize that it is different when you're involved, when you take a hand in it, when you put your shoulder to it? Call us right now, 877-500-KBOO.
Gee whiz, I was looking forward to that pool party. So I searched the whole building. I couldn't find the darn pool.
Now, well, you know, we did. We tore it out and we put in more production facilities.
Oh, no. What a waste of effort. What a waste of time. Gee whiz. Well, anyway, give us a call, 877-500-5266. Keep the station going on the air. We've been on for 48 years, and we can keep on doing it with your help, because this is your radio station. You can help run the station. Come on down and see us at 20 Southeast 8th. Meet all these crazy people having a little party here, just kind of, you know, wheedling for money, you know, talking about the wonders of KABU, and you can be part of that. It's really, it's kind of fun, you know, it really is. It's much more fun than being a Republican.
The mighty 90.7. We're here for you every hour of every day since June of 1968, and we are asking you right now to remember that, to not take it for granted. The voices around normalization of cannabis, the voices around undoing systems of oppression, the voices that are bringing social justice and social change to the airwaves, it's your turn right now to engage, to get involved, to be counted, to stand up and put your name in the good book. Toll free, 877-500-KBOO.
And we're back, coming at you live. Yes, this is live radio with my guest, David Downs, journalist and author of the Medical Marijuana Guidebook. And David, thank you again so much for all your time today and for letting us get copies of that book out to our members. They're going like hotcakes.
Thanks so much for letting me be a part of the show. I'm really inspired by KABU and what you guys are doing up there. I mean, the only way we're going to affect any change is through unified action and public airwaves, and what you guys do, and the internet is what's this tide that's making this country rise. And I know it's a very conflicted time in America, and it seems very confusing, but I think that conflict is good, because we are fighting and we're trying to make this country better again. And it's through being members of community, by fostering debate on your local radio station, that makes that possible. So I'm really inspired and humbled that you would have me be part of the show. So thank you, Doug.
Oh, heavens, man. I've been looking forward to this for a very long time. I've been following your work for several years, and I think it's great. Now, where can other folks follow you and read your stuff? What's your blog? What's your Twitter handle? That kind of thing.
Well, yeah, make sure after they finish donating for this pledge drive and you guys run out of books, you can get your own copy of the book at the website for it, and that is www.usmmj.org. That's an abbreviation for United States Medical Marijuana, because it's the patient's guidebook for this country. So that's US, as in Sam, MMJ, that's Mary, Mary, Juana, as it were, .org, and you can buy the books directly from me there, and that supports me with fatter margins as a retailer. Plus, I sign you an individual copy, and I'll stick it in the mail to you. And then you can also, if you're not comfortable with that or whatever, buy it on Amazon or the publisher's website, Whitman, at that page. So I'm just going to keep it simple and say www.usmmj.org, and that page will have links to everything else I'm doing.
Well, terrific. And any other closing thoughts? There's about 2 minutes left. Any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Portland, help us out down here. If you have time or money to donate to cannabis law reform, I'm sure the reformers down here would love your help. If you, you know, can the last part of the book is, you know, how to further be involved, because you just don't get to be this like passive consumer of medical marijuana products and services in America. If you want to continue to have your access, you have to be an active participant in policy, and that means being active locally and making sure to protect your rights to cultivate locally, you know, or to have an access to a local dispensary. They say all politics is local, and with marijuana, it's doubly so, especially if the odor is bothering your neighbor. And so, you know, I want Portland to just keep it up in terms of being involved and, you know, stay woke. And help other people who are falling down and falling behind. And thank you so much for your guys' time.
And again, thank you. We've been speaking with David Downs, journalist, author of the Medical Marijuana Guidebook. I'm Doug McVeigh, your guest host today. You've been listening to a special edition of Health Watch and Radio Zine. It is, that's the end of our show. And again, I want to thank our guest, David Downs, for all of his time and for these books. Thank you to our engineer, Natasha, who has done a tremendous job and always does. Thank you to Kathleen, our public affairs director, morning affairs director. And of course, to Per and Justin, who are over there in the in Pledge Central, who've been just pitching away. And hopefully we've gotten more folks calling in. I just want to say thank you again. And this is Doug McVeigh saying so long. So long.
You've been listening to KBOO Portland. Up next is the news at noon.
And now the KBOO News at Noon for Monday, September 19th, 2016. In local news, this week, the Oregon legislature will consider a proposal to establish a $5 million fund to reimburse schools for the costs associated with testing for lead. The proposal was formally submitted to the legislature by the Oregon Department of Education. The plan would reimburse Oregon school districts for the costs of testing school drinking water fountains and sinks for lead. The funding request comes on top of new regulations passed by the state in August that require public schools to develop plans to mitigate lead, radon, and other hazards from Oregon schools. The new law and funding request are the state's response